Let's everyone stand as we read the scripture. Genesis 17, 1 through 7. And when Abram was 90 years old and dying, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. You may be seated. This is my continuing series on presenting the truth to Judeo-Christians. The Judeo-Christian world thinks our scripture reading refers to the Jews, but we will show otherwise. In the last sermon, I briefly touched on the identity of the ethnic group known as the Jews and how they do not historically fit into their claim that they are the chosen of God. I further presented four facts of history proving that true Israel is the white race. Now we want to concentrate on the scriptural marks of the real Israel. The study of the marks of Israel is the study of scriptural prophecies and related history. Isaac and his wife Rebekah disowned Esau and embraced Jacob for the clear reasons stated in Genesis chapters 24 through 28, which depicts God's displeasure in race mixing. From the day when Esau despised his birthright, both the Bible and secular history tell of these two antagonistic nations as a continuing fulfillment of the enmity as stated in Genesis 3:15. Quote, I'll place hostility between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He'll strike you on the head and you'll strike him on the heel. End quote, and I chose the International Standard Version. The general nature of God's promise to Abraham is given in verses 4 and 6 of our scripture reading in Genesis chapter 17. Behold, my covenant is with thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Some very specific promises have been made in this passage. By looking at this small collection alone, we can already see that none of these prophecies have come to pass with regard to that group of people known as Jews. The Jews claim to be the only heirs of the promises made to Abraham, saying that the lost 10 tribes have been destroyed, never to be heard from again. However, the Jews cannot be said to have ever been known as, quote, many nations. In addition, they have always been a minority within the nations where they have lived. In their modern history, they have had only two nations of their own. One, the nation that the Edomians, through Antipater and his son Herod, stolen from the tribe of Judah in 150 B.C., and two, the modern state of Israel, so-called. All 12 tribes of Israel were divorced by God and exiled starting in 734 B.C. Therefore, true Israel did indeed become lost. Judeo-Christians and others of traditional prophetic ideas have all kinds of crazy theories, such as the rapture, about Bible prophecy. I would ask these traditionalists to lay aside everything they have heard about prophecy all their life and absorb the following. the seven times punishment. A major piece of prophetic evidence that the white nations are the descendants of Israel is seeing what is known as the seven times punishment. In all my years of studying in Judeo churches, this was never brought to my attention, but it is interesting and convincing. It is also very simple, unlike some of the theories we hear concerning the end times or a Bible code. As parents would discipline their children, so God would punish Israel. Quote, listen to this message that the Lord has spoken about you, people of Israel. It concerns the entire family that I brought from the land of Egypt. You alone have I known from among all the families of mankind. Therefore, I will hold you accountable for all your iniquities. That was Amos 3, verses 1 and 2 of the International Standard Version. Thus Israel was divorced from God and no longer considered his people, as seen in Hosea chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. This was fulfilled in the Assyrian invasion, which scattered Israel into the nations of the world, and thus the birthright blessings were withheld for a period known as, quote, seven times punishment or accountability. Seven times is seen in Leviticus 26, 18, 21, 24, and 28, where God promised to punish Israel for a long period, that being 2,520 years. It is commonly accepted that a time is a prophetic year of 360 days. The number seven is seen many times throughout the Bible, and amazingly the phrase seven times is seen seven times, and so is three and a half. These periods are synonymous and found in Revelation 3:2 and 13:5, where it is 42 months, which happens to be 1,260 days. In long-term prophecy, the days are years. This is seen in Numbers 14:34. Quote, after the number of the days in which ye search the land, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities. And in Ezekiel 4:6, quote, and thou shalt bear the iniquity I have appointed thee each day for a year, end quote. Daniel also mentions the expression, quote, a time, times, and a half, end quote. The word times is more than one, which would mean a doubling or 720, and a half time would be 180. Add them up, 360, 720, and 180, and you get 1,260. Therefore, seven times is seven multiplied by 360, which equals 2,520 years. Relating Israel's history to a future time, first we see in 745 BC, the first campaign by the Assyrians against Israel began. Many more invasions followed. Precisely, and adding a year from 1 BC to 1 AD, 2,520 years from 745 BC, is the final date where the seven times punishment expired upon the nation of Israel. That date is July 4, 1776. Is that date familiar to Americans? Indeed, it is familiar to America, Britain, and Western civilization as a whole. This is the fulfillment of regathered Israel. In 734 BC, the half-tribe of Manasseh, mainly of Machir, from which the word America is derived, Yair and Gilead were taken away. When we subtract 2,520 years from 734 BC, we come to 1787 AD. This happens to be the year when the Constitution of the United States was created. Delaware became the first state of the United States of America on 7 December 1787. It was also the first state to ratify the new U.S. Constitution, hence its nickname, First in the Nation. Next, in 721 BC, Israel's capital, Samaria, fell to the Assyrians. Exactly 2,520 years later, in 1800, the U.S. capital was moved from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C. Next, in 718 B.C., Assyria captured Samaria and took the remaining people captive to Hala, Hara, and the River of Gozan. Depending on who wrote the history, these people were called Cumri from King Omri, Gimri, the Sumerians, which sounds like Samaria, and Scythians from Saka or Isaac. If we subtract 2,520 years from 718 B.C., we come to 1803. That happens to be the year of the Louisiana Purchase. This greatly increased the land for the regathered Israel in America, and at a bargain price. God was blessing Manasseh. Since the late 18th and early 19th century, we have been the most prosperous and freest nation on earth. However, beyond that time, we have been losing our land to a globalist agenda, regardless of which political party is in control. When will we put a stop to the madness that has been happening to America in recent times? I say we because it is only the white race that is capable of doing it. Now we are on the verge of the possible election of a purely communist president. Will this be the turning point to a Bolshevik America? We certainly hope not. Americans are taught that the, quote, Nazi regime was the most brutal event in history, but those alleged events were a Sunday school picnic compared to the events following the Bolshevik Revolution, which led to the Soviet Union. Now let's take a look at what the Bible says about Israel. I will not be reading all of these scriptures, for there are many references. I will present just a sampling. First, we have the idea of a throne. The throne of David was to be perpetuated forever. And I've provided in the text a number of scripture references, but I'll just read a couple of verses. Like I said, 2 Samuel 7:13, he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Jeremiah 33:17, for so says Jehovah, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. In contrast, true Israel, the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Caucasian peoples, can demonstrate that the ongoing dynasties of Europe, including the present British monarchy, are directly descended from King David. Charts showing these lines of descent are available from the various British Israel organizations in America, Canada, and Britain. The Jews cannot demonstrate such a heritage. The last king the Jews can lay claim to is Herod Agrippa II. This Edomite Jewish dynasty consisted of only four kings, Herod the Great, Herod Antipas, Herod Agrippa, and Herod Agrippa II, and I give the dates. The next one is a company, Israel to be a great and a company of nations. Just two verses, Genesis 35:11, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Genesis 48:19, and his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. End quote. Within Anglo-Saxon Israel, we have three solid representatives of a company of nations. These are the British Commonwealth, the Canadian provinces, and the United States of America. A nation is defined as a country inhabited by a certain group of people having specific laws and customs. Throughout history, the Jews have lived within the national boundaries of other nations, preferring to live in ghettos or other small groups. From these ghettos have arisen numerous secretive enclaves conspiring against the thrones of the Davidic dynasties. Through this parasitic practice of establishing a secretive state within a state, the Jews have been successful in subverting and stealing our nations from us. Murano, Spain is a perfect example. Britain was stolen away from the British people by the House of Rothschild in 1650, and now America has been stolen by the Edomites of the Federal Reserve System, 1918, and the Deep State. Well, we hope that all comes crashing down soon. The State of Israel is the only nation the Jews have ever had, and even this nation was stolen, a result of two world wars, from the Palestinian people. Additionally, the Israeli state is parasitic because it relies totally on outside funding for its existence, of which the U.S. is the prime contributor. Question: since the Israeli state is not self-sufficient, does it really count as a nation? Thus, the Jews have never had a company of nations. The next one is a multitude. Israel to be a multitudinous seed. And I have many references in the text for that. Genesis 28:3, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people. Compare the population of white Christian nations, true Israel, to the Jews, who have always been one of the smallest ethnic groups. The next one, a leader. Israel to be a leading nation in the world. Quoting from Deuteronomy 28:10, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. In Isaiah 60:12, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted, end quote. The Israeli state can only be considered a leading nation to the extent that the American taxpayer allows it to exist. Certainly no great or leading nation would have to depend on someone else to survive. Next, a sea traveler. Israel, a mighty sea-going people. Deuteronomy 33:19. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hid in the sand. Not a chance here for the Jews. The next one, lost identity. Israel to forget its identity as the covenant people and blind to the truth. Isaiah 29:10, for the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, have he covered. End quote. In our day, America and other white nations are beginning to awaken to their identity. They know their race is under attack. It is essential that we know who we are if we want to be part of God's kingdom. This is the fullness of the Gentiles, as mentioned in Romans 11:25. Since the Jews have always maintained an unbroken historical claim on the promises bestowed upon Abraham's seed, they never could have had the collective amnesia which Scripture says would befall Israel. The next one is a new tongue. Israel to have a new language, Isaiah 28:11. We Israelites have a new language. It's English. The Celtic languages have their origins in Hebrew. The word British comes from two Hebrew words, Brit, which means covenant, and Ish, which means man. Thus, covenant man. Isaiah 28:11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. End quote. The Jews have tried to preserve Hebrew, at least their corrupt version of it. This is part of their ongoing masquerade as Israel. another name. Israel to be known by another name. Isaiah 62:2. And in Isaiah 65:15, and ye shall leave your name for a verse unto my chosen, a curse unto my chosen, and for the Lord God shall slay thee, and call his servants by another name. The Jews still claim falsely the old name, Israel, for themselves. Next, Israel hidden. Israel's to be hidden because of its loss of identity. The northern house of Israel became known by historians as the Lost Ten Tribes of Israel. For the most part, the southern house remained, and after the Babylonian captivity, became known as the Jews. Idumeans, Idumeans, or Judeans is the word usually there. At this time, the period of Christ's ministry, they became quite a racially mixed population, the melting pot of the ancient world. Psalm 83:3, they have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones, end quote. The Jews were never hidden. Host countries and indigenous populations were always aware of their presence and their pretentious claim to being Israel. Throughout history, the Jews have made themselves so unwelcome that they have been expelled from virtually every nation that had allowed them in. Next is a new covenant. Israel to have a new covenant, that is, a last will and testament, which is a reference to the Last Supper. Jeremiah 31:31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. This verse is in the New Testament as well. In John 11:51-52, and this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that he also should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Note the reference to Ephesians 2:14, the two houses of Israel. The Jews deny that this prophecy was fulfilled by the Messiah, and they still claim to adhere to the old covenant, or Torah, as they call it. Next, recognition of the Savior. A people who would recognize the Messiah. In Acts 5:28-32, saying the high priest, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name, this name? And behold, ye have fulfilled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. The Jews did not, still do not, and never will accept Jesus Christ. The next one, mission-minded. Israel, a missionary people. Genesis 28:14, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee, in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The Jews have historically kept to themselves since the time of their conversion of the Khazars around 800 A.D. They have never tried to convert others to the exclusive faith of the chosen people. Their only exception to this rule is when they can use conversion to their financial or political subversive causes. The next one, kindness and freedom. Israel to be kind to other people and set slaves free. We see in Psalm 72:4, quote, he shall judge the poor of the people, He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor. End quote. The law of God in Deuteronomy directed kindness especially to our own race, but sometimes kindness is shown to others. It was Anglo-Saxon Christianity that set the slaves free, both in England and America. Here the Jews fail again, as the Rothschilds and other Jewish bankers were the financial agents of the international slave trade up until the, quote, Civil War. Owning the ships and financing the war, both North and South, Judah P. Benjamin was their highly placed agent in the Confederate government. Even today, the state of Israel has been condemned for its tolerance of white female slaves used for prostitution. According to Christopher Bolin in August 20, 2001 issue of the American Free Press, Israel is one of the top trafficking nations in the world. The Trafficking Act calls for economic sanctions in 2003 against those countries that fail to act against traffickers. If Israel fails to take significant steps to end the slave trade, it could face sanctions. Estimates range between 2,000 and 3,000 women and children being trafficked into Israel each year, 95% of them coming from the collapsed economies of the former Soviet Union. Although most are older, children as young as 12 are also involved. End quote. Domination. Israel would possess the gates of her enemies. Genesis 22:17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. End quote. The Jews have never had a great military. The one they have now is due to the extortion extracted from the German people via Holocaust propaganda and courtesy of the U.S. taxpayer, of course. Colonization. Israel was to colonize the world. In Deuteronomy 33:17, quote, his glory is like the firstling of his bullet, and his horns are like the thorns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. End quote. The Anglo-Saxons have colonized the world. The Jews have merely followed us wherever we went to take advantage of our prosperity. Next is agriculture. Israel, an agricultural people, shall make deserts blossom. Deuteronomy 28:11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. White farmers have fed the world. America has been the breadbox. The Jews are not known for their agricultural talents. A Jewish farmer is virtually unheard of except on an Israeli kibbutz. The Zionist claim to having made the deserts bloom is mere propaganda. The Jewish tour guides who make this claim in front of Christian tourists in Israel must have a great laugh every time Christians swallow this joke. The Palestinians have always had rich groves in Palestine. The Jews have not increased the production of agriculture one bit. Mark Twain, as part of his worldwide travelogue tour, a century before the Zionists invaded Palestine, wrote an excellent account of his trip to Palestine in which he describes the beautiful agricultural conditions there. Historically, the Jews have never produced farm products. It had always been the Anglo-Saxons. The Talmud says, quote, no occupation is inferior to that of agricultural labor, end quote. Have you ever met a Jewish farmer, even in Israel? Because Cain murdered Abel, God said to him, quote, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield to you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth, end quote, Genesis 4:12. This mark is especially damning to the descendants of Cain, because Abel's blood was spilled onto the ground, and his blood cried out for revenge, as Genesis 4:10 indicates. Who are the people known the world over for being fugitives and vagabonds? Could it be the wandering Jew? This is an undeniable aspect of Jewish heritage. When Esau married the two Hittite women, he married into the Canaanite lineage. Thus, Jews are the descendants of Cain. God clearly tells us that he will exact his revenge upon them on Judgment Day. And we have the example of the parable of the wheat and tares in Matthew 13. Next, the appointed place. Israel was to find a new home away from Palestine. In 2 Samuel 7:10, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in their place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. None of this could possibly apply to Jews. Next, remembrance of identity. Israel will remember her identity just before the last days. In Ezekiel 39:22-27, we read, quote, so the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord, their God, from that day and forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness, and according to their transgressions, have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame, and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people, and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, end quote. We are returning to Yahweh our God, and have rediscovered our Davidic heritage. This prophecy is highly significant for us today, especially since we are awakening to our true racial identity. Isaac, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called, Genesis 21:12. Also, it means Beth-sack, and it starts with the house of Isaac equals Isaac's sons, or the word Saxons. The Anglo-Saxons are named after Isaac. Quote, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them, end quote, Numbers 6:27. The white Anglo-Saxon world of Christendom are the only folk who can possibly lay claim to this heritage. Thus they are true genetic Israel. The Jews claim to be named after Judah, not Isaac. They never quote this passage of scripture because they are not descendants of Isaac through Jacob. They are impersonators and liars. It would be impossible for them to explain away the plain meaning of this passage, so they suppress it. The pro-Jewish pastors of Judeo-Churchianity ignore this passage as well. That is why Christendom is in trouble, thus the nation. My conclusion. The above list is proof straight from the Word of God that Israel, not the Jews, are the true descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are not the only scriptures, but are the obvious ones. This truth can be deduced from other scriptures as well. At this point, I would like to expand upon one of the marks, that of the lost identity of Israel, lost sheep. The Judeo world commonly thinks the Jews are Israel, but Jesus said to them, quote, Ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. End quote, John 10:26. The sheep are always Israel in the Bible. Therefore, Jesus is saying that the Jews are not Israel. Notice how sheep are identified as Israel. Quote, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Psalm 95:7. Quote, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. My flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. End quote. Ezekiel 34:6. Quote, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. End quote. Ezekiel 34:11. The sheep are Israel, the lost 10 tribes that were scattered throughout Asia, the Caucasus region, thus the name Caucasian, and Europe 7 centuries before Christ came. Judah was never lost. After 70 years, the remnant of Judah, and some became known as Jews, returned to Jerusalem and Judea from Babylonian and Assyrian captivity and was nationally restored. Israel was the lost ones. Jesus said, quote, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. End quote, Matthew 15:24. He was not sent to the Jews. He came to them, but he was not sent to them. Judea at the time of Christ was a racial mix, much as America is today. The true Jews or Judahites that he came for were of Israel. The fake Jews or Edomites, whom he did not come for, were of Esau and a few others. Both groups called themselves Judeans simply because they lived in Judea. This must be sorted out to understand the Bible. Therefore, if these sheep are the children of God and they hear the shepherd, then the Jews are not the people of God, nor do they hear the shepherd. The Jews are the wolves, and wolves cannot become sheep. They only destroy sheep. A question should be asked of Judeo-pastors. Since Jesus had much difficulty with the Jews, and they clearly tried to kill him on many occasions, why wouldn't the Jews be trying to kill Christians today? The above list of the marks of Israel ought to be sufficient for distinguishing the two groups of people contending for the designation of the covenant people or the chosen people. Not one of these categories can possibly apply to the Jews. Every one of them fit the description of the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Germanic, and kindred peoples. The tribes of Israel are not lost. They stand out like stars in the night sky. Quote, this is what the Lord says, who gives the sun for light by day, the laws that govern the moon and stars for light by night, and who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of the heavenly armies is his name. If these laws cease to function in my presence, declares the Lord, then the descendants of Israel will cease to be a nation in my presence for all time. Quote, from Jeremiah 31:35-36, and it was the International Standard Version. What a great hope to know that the Almighty God is on our side. We are his sheep, and he, the great shepherd. Amen.